Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks very much. Thanks for the opportunity to come and talk to you today. I'm going to talk a little bit more about work we're doing on polymer membranes and how we look at using them in agricultural situations. So if you look at all the big challenges around water security, soil security, food security, irrigation is right at the center of that. It's the single biggest user of water that we extract out of the out of our river systems. And we think the opportunities to make use of these polymer membranes to help manage our water better. So I guess agriculture has made use of plastics a lot in the past, and it's been used for weed control, conserving moisture, and a whole heap of other things. There's hundreds of thousands of tons being used of it around the world now, and the problem with a lot of it is a pollutant, and it's not doing the environment very much good in the way that we have to try and manage it and dispose of it and that sort of stuff. So there's a growing interest in biodegradable materials for use in agriculture, and that's what we're doing. So we're working with a bunch of material scientists, and it's a lot of fun working with those guys, and trying to distinguish between degradation of materials and biodegradation. So we want to design and manage materials that biodegrade properly. And a lot of our current plastics are that fragment, so they break into smaller pieces, but they don't actually biodegrade. So that's what we want to take out of the system. So we're looking at how to use polymers in the irrigated systems. And I guess last year I talked a little bit about use of the polymers in furrow irrigated systems, where we can get pretty substantial savings in water and leaching just by putting polymers and using them here in the furrow. Today I'm going to concentrate a little bit on the surface evaporation and the use there. So looking at our drip irrigation systems, some of our biggest water losses are the evaporation and the deep drainage, and that's what we want to minimize. That's the non-beneficial use of the water. So if we put our polymer up here, our membrane up here, we cut out that the evaporation from this part of the profile, and the aim is to increase the transpiration. So any water we can push through the plant is beneficial use of it, and we want to try and cut out this thing as well. But focusing on here, so these materials at the moment anyway are not cheap to make, and they, still in an experimental development stage. So trying to work out what's the cost effectiveness in putting these materials together, and once you've got them, how do you use them? Do you cover the whole surface, half of the surface, a quarter of the surface, or whatever? And I guess that's where we're sort of playing at the moment. So we run a bunch of experiments. We're doing sort of proof of concept stuff out in the field and in the laboratory. And you can see this is our bare soil control at the top here. And we're playing with different membranes, having a look at what sort of water savings we get out of them. So in the lab so far, we've achieved like 10 to 50% savings. And we figure if we can make use of a cost-effective membrane and save just 10% of the water we're using across the globe, that's a ginormous amount of water to put to other uses. So, when you're looking at this kind of saving, it's pretty substantial. This is just a picture of some of the field trials. So here we've got a polymer sitting across the top of the row. And this is what some of the polymers look like when you put them on the surface. Some of them are still not forming as well as we would like them to form. Some of them we've had problems with wicking, where they actually go penetrate into the soil and hang onto the soil and don't form very effectively. So what we're looking for is polymers that stick together and stick to the soil but don't wick. So a lot of work going on in the material side of this work as well. So some of our early trials are showing us here, this is our bare treatment control again, where we just use standard scheduling practices to apply the water. So you can see we're getting a pretty good yield here, using lots of water, and our water productivity around 1.4 kilograms per 100 liter. Our polymer treatment, we use 28% less water. That's again based just on the normal scheduling process. So lost a little bit of yield, but substantially less water. We run other controls with it too, where whatever water we put on the polymer treatment, we put on our bare soil treatment. So this is the same treatment as that one there, just with 28% less water. And you can see we dropped quite a lot of yield, but used the same amount of water. But even with this, our productivity is about 20% higher than our control, and for our polymer treatment, we're about 30% higher than control. So bigger savings in the lab, not as big in the field yet, but still pretty substantial. If we can get up that 25-30%, I think it's all worth the effort. So I guess we're trying now to look at so these are just some seedlings coming up through the polymer, trying to look at the sorts of questions that we need to ask, and I mentioned some of them already. You know, what about the partial use of the membrane? What's the effect of strips versus holes? What's the permeability of the membrane as it degrades? How does the permeability change? What effect does that have? We're trying to have multiple benefits out of the membrane, so if we can get a weed control out of it and cut out a tractor pass and a fuel and all that kind of stuff, that means that, you know, we could use more of it more effectively. You can use these materials as slow-release fertilizers and, agrochemicals and that sort of stuff. So there are multiple uses in it. And this is where we are thinking now. So what is the question we need to ask, and how do we need to manage it and better and do so in the field? So obviously, just like Jesper and Nathiel have been talking about, we need models to help us with that process. And, Jörg has been working with us, and apart from fighting with the sharks on the Great Barrier Reef, he just spent a bit of time in the lab. So he's added a lot of capability and enhancement into the Hydros model, and I think that's opening up the opportunity for us to address a lot of the questions that we want to play with. So the one thing, is to have a full surface energy balance at the surface so that we actually get the dynamics of that energy balance correct. We want to know about the albedo of these membranes. We want to know about the slope and the azimuth. We want to be able to run the rows east-west or north-south so that we have a look at our daily sort of change in radiation loads and that sort of stuff. And obviously we want to have the feedback with the plant, so we need some kind of crop growth model and root water uptake and some feedback in the system. So that was Jörg has been helping get in, going into the system. And I'm just going to touch very briefly on part of that at the moment. We're still getting all our simulations done and what have you. So here I just wanted to look at 50% coverage versus 80% coverage, for example, and just looking at an isothermal system with a fixed ET pulling the water out of the system. So this is our bare treatment at the top here. This is 80% coverage, so the purple line is the actual polymer, and that's the bare soil. And this is a 50% coverage. So you can see here the brown line is the bare loss of the evaporation through the bare. This is where we've got 50% coverage, 25 centimeter strips, 10 centimeter, 2 centimeter. And I guess so. What this is telling us is you've got lots of little holes, you're losing a lot of water. If you've got fewer bigger holes, you're not losing as much. And then if you've got 80% coverage, obviously you're losing you're having less evaporation than you are with the 50% coverage. If you then look under a full energy balance situation where, so he has the isothermal just fixed ET pulling the water out, he has the full energy balance. You can see here that our small holes can lose as much water and more as the bare soil, and get down to the bigger, the bigger strips, you're losing less water. So it's giving us some thoughts about how to manage this and play with it a little bit better. And then having a look at the effects of albedo, so here I'm just comparing the albedo effects and looking at, so the dotted line is where we've got a 50% albedo for a whitish type of polymer material. And the albedo is not particularly important in the effect here. But you can see that you're losing much more water running the full surface energy balance than just the isothermal and that. So I guess just showing here that we're starting to get the system working, and we can look at the thermal and water profiles running east-west and north-south, and slowly starting to, you know, unravel the different management options that we've got with us. So I guess with that, we feel that we're making pretty good progress on those polymer things. I think the cost effectiveness is the major challenge right now, but with the amount of water that we potentially able to save, I think we'll manage to, you know, work on that cost effectiveness and get it down. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you. We haven't got all that detail in the thing yet. I mean, that'll come. We just have been working on the, you know, in the soil at the moment. I mean, we know that, and I guess, you know, like with the plant too. You know, we haven't really got playing with the plant where we're picking up the shadow yet. So the shadow will also be important, and that's why we wanted, you know, the east, west, north, south kind of things, so that we can look at those kind of stuff. And then, yeah, your wind will be part of the boundary condition. So get it. I guess what I'm saying is getting the boundary conditions right is really important for this application, and that's what didn't exist in the model.
Are these polymers also impermeable to precip?
Well, ideally, so the... The task for our polymer material scientists is, can we let the liquid water in the one way and stop the vapor coming out the other way? So, you know, they've got a challenge. They reckon they can do it. I'm not sure. At the moment, we're just assuming that it'll transport as much liquid and water as it wants to in either direction. So there's no directional control in it. But I guess for me, there's another application to that where it is impermeable. So we want to take this to dryland systems where you can change your bed a little bit and use it to capture and concentrate the water. And then, you know, you get that evaporative benefit, you know, from there. So we'll win one way or another.
Okay, I want to thank you. Once again, I want to thank all of the